get there.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Now, the fact that the recorder is on, no one pay attention to it. Okay? If you have any questions, feel comfortable talk up. Okay, we're doing Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel, the Mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur, and many, many interesting things in the Mitzvah Shinah. So let's start from the beginning. Shin Yud Gimel. So first he identified the Mitzvah of Lotzum B'Yom HaShir Tishrei. The fast on the 10th day of Tishrei, Panikah Yom HaKippurim. That's called Yom Kippurim. Shenema, as the Pesach says, Be'elchel HaChodesh, on the 10th of the month, Renisa Mitznaf Shasechem. 10th of the month, you afflict your soul. Now how do you afflict yourself? What does that mean, afflicting? Doesn't mean you hit yourself, doesn't mean you cut yourself, these things are not allowed, we don't do these things. But Peter Specifra, what is Inui? Ibud Nefesh. It's a loss a little bit of the physical, of the body. That is a Nefesh. When you don't eat, when you don't drink, there's, you know, there's a little bit, that's the affliction that we're referring to. And also, that's what the Gemara explains as well. And Yuma. The old Baraka. Now, we're reading, by the way, the Chinuch, okay? Just out of the bold of the Chinuch. You have anyone following? Old Baraka. Bolalav, Shu'asa Barachitza Ubesicha. Bekabbalah. Now, what does it mean, Bekabbalah? Tradition? Does it mean Rabbanon? Does it mean. Because now, until now, we're talking about the prohibition of eating and drinking. What about. We don't wash on Yom Kippur. We don't smear oils on Yom Kippur. Marital relations are forbidden on Yom Kippur. Wearing shoes are forbidden on Yom Kippur. Is that Minat Torah, Midrabanan? So the language here is not clear. We'll see from the Chinuch a little later, and we'll see more about it in the Minchas Chinuch. So he says, it's forbidden to wash and anoint with oils. Meaning it's a sandal and wearing leather shoes. We'll see more about that exactly what that's referring to. Patashin Amita. Lashon Sifra. Minayin Yom Kippurim Asa Rechitza V'Sicha. How do you know Yom Kippur's Asa? You're washing and smearing with oils. Meaning it's a sandal, wearing shoes of Patashin Amita. Tamaloma Shabbos Shabbosan. There's a double language. It says about Yom Kippur that it's Shabbos Shabbosan. What's the double language? Kloimaki. Kefil HaShvisa, the double language. Yura Al Shvisa Me'asotam Eila, or Shvisa Mother Hagof. The double language, you can't eat. You can't. And it also refers to the idea also of the extra language that it's a day of seizing from other types of things as well. What are the other types of things that's referring to? Wearing shoes. It's a, even though the language of it's a rest from wearing shoes. You're, other types of things also you have to you're forbidden to do on this day. So that's from the language of Shabbos Shabbosah. So we have an extra. So the question is this drusha? Is this a real drusha? Like a biblical, or is it that the Rabbanon, sometimes the Rabbanon feel it's necessary to create a certain decree, and they like to find a hint to the idea in the Chumash, like what we call that an asmachta. So that's the question, is this a real drasha? Like a drasha that went from Moshe from Sinai, that Moshe was told from Hashem, this is the understanding of the Pasuk. That would make it a biblical obligation to not to wear shoes and so forth, or is it a rabbinic? So that's really a discussion in the Minchas Chinuch, the first Minchas Chinuch. If you look at the first Minchas Chinuch, it's right in your right-hand corner in the old editions, Lossum, Va'od Bar Kabbalah Lav, right? Kefil Hashvisa Yora, correct? Anyone have it? Kenu Gam Rambam. Doctor, you have it? Look at the right corner bottom. Alan, if you want to show him his edition, it's on the right bottom.
That's the Rambam?
That's the Minchas Chinuch.
No, well,
oh, yeah, Kenu Barambam. Yeah. Ben Moshe. Kenu Gam Barambam, Perik Aleph, Mishvishas Osro, Halocha. Hey, the Alfina Meshabasa. We learn from Shabasa. Ayin Shab Shehishu. Chelam Manapir Shmua. The Rambam says, "She also lirchos imepi hashmua, the ksiv shabosa." So what did the Rambam mean when he said mipi hashmua? Does he mean is it min haTorah, min drabbanon? Ayin Magen Mishnah. The Magen Mishnah is one of the famous commentaries on the Rambam. Every Rambam, most Rambams have a Magen Mishnah on its side. And he said, "Daitav that's a Rambam shekosta v'chein l'man the piashmua." Similarly, that means he's equating this the following halacha about sandals and washing with the previous halacha, which deals with eating and drinking. So v'chein l'manu, similarly we learned mipi hashmua. We didn't learn it from this pasuk of Einisim Asaf Shesechem, but from a different pasuk, Shavah Shavasam, another halacha, which seems to say, similar, it's in a similar league. They're both in the same league. There might be some other differences, but there's also the Chamishim Inuyim, so the Magen Mishnah is that the five Inuyim that we're not allowed to do, the five things that we are, so to speak, it's also types of affliction, meaning eating and drinking are the Inuyim that everyone agrees is forbidden in the Torah, and everyone agrees that when the Torah says if a person eats or drinks, but if a person doesn't afflict himself, he will be obligated, kares, everyone agrees that's only referring to eating and drinking. The other five, where it's a question which is biblical or not biblical, there's no question regarding the punishment. No one says that if it's biblical, we'll get the punishment of kares. That's because it's not part of that. It's not part of, it's from a different, from Shabbat Shabbos, and it's not part of the Kol Nefesh L'Suneh Etzem Hayom Hazeh. So no one would say that. The Chamishim Inuyim Heim in HaTorah. Rak Dein Nimna L'Mitzvah Mechavah. So the Rambam, the Magen Mishnah in the Rambam is that the five Inuyim, these five things are Min HaTorah, but they're not counted as a separate Mitzvah. Chin Das Haran, B'Das HaRambam. That they are also, they have different, it's a different league, it's a different level, but it's not Min HaTorah, and it's not counted, it's Min HaTorah, but it's not counted as a separate Mitzvah. See, the mitzvah here is counted as the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur. So if you hold it's Min HaTorah, so there should be another mitzvah of not allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. It's not counted. He doesn't explain why it's not counted as a separate mitzvah, but it's not counted as a separate mitzvah. If you hold that it's forbidden Min HaTorah to wear shoes and wash oneself for pleasure purposes. As you know, these are all things of pleasure. Yes, of course.
Is the most essential thing that we need for survival. So that's probably why we should, it's Min HaTorah, and we can darshan from Inui to it, that it means Achil Ishtiyah, because it means to really
very good. But I think it's from the lotion of Nisan Es Nafshol Secher. Look at the nefesh. The word nefesh can refer to the body, right? So this, how do you afflict, you're like afflicting your body in a way that it's going to be losing something. If you don't wear shoes, it's not really, you're not really taking away from yourself, so to speak, right? That's what you're saying? But when you actually, if you don't wear shoes, if you don't wash yourself, you're not taking away, you're not giving yourself pleasure. But when you're actually fasting, you're taking away, you're actually doing something in a positive way, I don't know if you want to call it positive, but an active way. And therefore, that's what the pasuk is referring. Very good. That's the drush of Inisem Es Nafshol Secher. So, he says, V'chein Das Haran, Das HaRambam. Then he says, V'chein Nira Das HaRav HaMachada. It also appears in Mincha Senach said that the Machada, which is the Chinuch, also says this whole story, Shekosav V'od Bo'ala HaKabbalah, Nearer the Sefer Gam Kain Dehein Min HaTorah, that they're also Min HaTorah. The only problem I have with this Minchas language with the Chinuch is because later on, the Chinuch clearly states these Inuyim Ad Rabbanon. Claims that they're Rabbanon. So the way the Minchas Chinuch says the language of the Chinuch implies it's Min HaTorah. Later on, you'll see the Chinuch himself says these are the Rabbanon. Okay. But then he continues. Avodas Atos Vesham Ayn Zayin Ben Aleph Divir Masot Tzav Arosh Vav Rishon Dechamish Einuyim Chutz Mechir Shehimat Rabbanon, and he said Smach Tavalma. So that's the first machlokus I want to bring out tonight. The first machlokus is the question is anything besides eating and drinking the other five things, is that the bonon of the Torah, that's the machlokas in the Rishonim, how to learn this drasha of Shabbat Shabbos. Okay? That's that point.
All the restrictions are not the Torah,
but it's not counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs.
They're not all counted together as one mitzvah.
Maybe those five are counted as one mitzvah, but we don't list it as a separate mitzvah. Meaning, right, in the counting of mitzvahs, we don't count it as a...
The five or all six.
Let's say those five. I mean, the counting of the mitzvah, everyone agrees this counting of mitzvahs, the mitzvah to stand on Yom Kippur. That's the counting of the mitzvah. Now, if you hold it's a mitzvah not to... You know, there's other mitzvahs that we have. You know, it's a mitzvah do vidui. Right? And like the Chino says, what's the special... One of the main things of Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur is the last day... That's the end day to say vidui for the year, so to speak. If you don't say vidui by Yom Kippur, you transgress a positive commandment. You had a positive commandment to say vidui, which also incorporates doing tshuva. You're supposed to do it, and really the mitzvah tshuva is every day. When does he have to do the mitzvah tshuva? He has to do it tomorrow. Yom Kippur, I want to see Yom Kippur now. Even mitzvah tenet is tshuva. But if he doesn't do tshuva, and part of the process is to say vidui, he has, you know, with... You know, you talk to an accountant, he has an extension, so to speak. The extension goes until Yom Kippur. If you do by Yom Kippur, you're fine. You know, no penalties, no nothing. It's an extension without a penalty. But it meaning the Torah gets it at that time. But if you don't, after Yom Kippur, you already lost out that opportunity. I presume now he starts in the next year, you know, I would think. That's the mitzvah we have, and that's going to be one of the mitzvahs we have, Yom Kippur. You know, one of the main mitzvahs is the mitzvah of Vidri. Of confessing for our sin that we might have done throughout the year.
And what if someone confesses every day? He says Salat Lanu three times a day.
So he might have already...
Doesn't need a mitzvah. He doesn't have the mitzvah.
Listen, that mitzvah, he might have... He already... Now, the question, since the day he says Salat Lanu, until Yom Kippur, does he know that he's perfect? Meaning, I was doing today the tour Beis Yosef. And he brings down many different menhagim regarding Erev Yom Kippur. There was maybe the Ramban held. You would say vidui. There was one sheet that they would actually say three viduyim, a vidui at mincha, a vidui after the meal, and then a vidui at night. Like Yom Kippur. What do? We have vidui. We got a mincha. We say vidui at mincha. Then we go eat a suda. And after we eat the suda, we have another vidui. But there was a shita that says we got to get another vidui in, a third vidui, meaning a vidui before mincha, and then vidui for mincha, and then after you had the meal, you need another vidui. Why? So when Yom Kippur enters, you should already be clean, and maybe you did something wrong at the suda. Or maybe you weren't acting properly at the meal. Maybe you didn't do everything right at the meal. I mean, there's always the opportunity that a person might be making mistakes and not doing everything they should be doing to its fullest. So, therefore, to answer your question, is even if you said vidui every day, if the Sfardim say, Hashem the Begadim, the Gosal, the Dibanu, right, the Sfardim say it every day, right? Mr. Sfardim, whatever. But there's always opportunity that people, might have done another sin. Right? There's always that opportunity from whatever time they said it until later on, there's opportunity for people make... And also...
I always had that question recently. We daven Ma'ariv right after... Shlach Lanu
Avinu.
Yom Kippur finished, we'd already said Shlach Lanu.
Right. It could be the questions we have to know. Could we do the tshuva as well as we should have? Right? Or you could say Shlach Lanu Avinu for whatever sins we might have done in the past. That we might have done tshuva for, but we did tshuva, but still forgive us. Maybe. But the idea, and also the idea of Yom Kippur, is maybe we do a much more extensive vidui. Whatever vidui a person might have done during the year, say Hashem the Bekanu, but he has a much more extensive vidui, and it incorporates much more. So, you know, and also the day, the Kedusha of the day that a person has. You know, the power of the Kedusha of Yom Kippurim, which has a special Kedusha in itself. So, that's one of the things we've got to take advantage of.
How do we repeat it? Like, is it 3-4 times the same over?
Many times.
Ten times. Oh, yeah, it's our shots. It's why so many times?
So obviously, they discussed what, but obviously, in order for us to get it, we have to repeat it many times, obviously, in order for us to really get it. You know, the more you repeat something, maybe finally you get it straight. You know, like the Torah, you emphasize something. The Torah says, like the Chinuch says, if the Torah says the mitzvah a few times, repeats itself. Right? Certain mitzvah, the Torah repeats itself. Right? It repeats it a few times. How many times is Shabbos mentioned in the Torah? Take a look and you analyze, do a little search. Amazing how many times the Torah Shabbos is mentioned in the Torah. Why? Why so many times? Because the meat and the potatoes keep on emphasizing, because this is one of the most important things. You got to keep on emphasizing it, right? You got to keep on emphasizing it. Something that you have that's so vitally important. So that's the idea about a little bit about the five inuyim. But again, these inuyim are let's say, according to, if we're saying that if they're rabbinic. It also has to do with pleasures, and therefore we find there are certain times that they won't, they'll allow. They want to make a gzera, let's say if a person has certain medical issues, maybe you know, certain things, problems on his head, a wound on his head, or something, to put some oil or something, or certain things, whatever it might be, for the purpose of, not for the purpose of pleasure, right? Okay, we'll have to look up exactly the halacha, but the point is they didn't forbade in such a situation. Now, if we're going back, if we're going in the new Minchas Chinuch, if we go in the new Minchas Chinuch to Yud Gimel, page Tav Pei Vav, and in the old Minchas Chinuch, the Chayin Me'inyan HaMitzvah. That is, I'll tell you where it is. Here, right here. Yes, you got it. Very good. You got it? Chayim Inyan HaMitzvah. Page 252. See, say it like this. Chayim Inyan HaMitzvah. See, he's going on the head of the Chabad, the Rabbanon, for Rechitza. I wrote before, that's exactly what we spoke about. There are Shittas that say that these Inuyim, these things of not wearing shoes and so forth, and the washing and so forth, are Minatorah. Ayin Bramban, Ruhuva Gamkin Barosh HaTainis, Gabi Kishabov. Ramban says an amazing thing, it's brought in the Rosh, you can look up the Rosh and Tainis, regarding Kishabov. That what? A very interesting halacha that the Ramban writes. The Be'erev Kishabov, after Mutta Dayin Le'echol, even though you're allowed to eat, let's say you're talking about the Sudasam of Sekes. You're at the Sudasam of Sekes. And you already started certain things. You're not eating meat. You're not drinking wine by the Sudasam of Sekes. So some things have begun. Right? You're still eating. You're having the last meal. But he says, the after Mutta Dayin Le'echol Shal Kibul of a Tainis, you didn't accept the Tainis, because Mokum Osab Rechitza V'Sicha. You can't, but what has already kicked in? Washing and smearing oils on yourself, and ointments on yourself, is already forbidden. Welcome. It's already forbidden at that time. Okay. Why? Because the Rechitza V'Sicha Hanod Del Achashol. Because washing, when you wash and you share yourself with oils, the benefit is not just for this moment. The benefit is you're going to have a benefit in an hour from now that you're clean, and that pleasure is continuous. So it is like, in a certain way, that you're washing when if you wash. See, if you take a look at the language of the. Of the rush. I'm going to get the rush out. It'll be clear. See, you're benefiting, so to speak, from that washing, if you wash right before Tisha B'Av, took a shower right before Tisha B'Av, so this shower really is, it's going to, the benefits of that shower is going to be for you after the Sulam effect, it's going to be for you in the evening, right? And the evening is already Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av is not a time that you wash. We don't, and it means, because washing is a pleasure, and therefore, and also if you're going to smear yourself with ointments, and so to speak, if you're going to smear yourself with ointments late in the day, that benefit from the smearing of the ointment late in the day will be carried over into the night.
So is the eating benefit.
What?
The eating right before, it benefits you because you're full the rest of the night. So you benefit from eating.
Okay. So let's see the language. It says, Perek the Rosh and Perek Dalit. Let's see. Perek Dalit. Simon Lamaches. So like this. Since you accepted upon yourself some things that are available, talking about Erev Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to wash, even you're not allowed to wash yourself, even though Tisha B'Av is not here yet, because Rechitza, washing is a Hanah that's Achashoh. And it appears like you're washing for the purpose, for the benefit of Tisha B'Av. When you're washing, these are the words that I brought in the Rosh. When you're washing yourself late in the day, you're washing so late in the day, so I can, I'll gain that benefit maybe when I'm eating now late in the day. I'm eating now for now. I'm hungry now. But the effects of
you're
the
dirty now too.
Okay. But the effects of that washing or the effects of that oil, it appears like I'm washing for the Tisha B'Av, and therefore it's awesome.
Also, with eating on Yom Kippur.
Before Yom Kippur,
eating before Yom Kippur, the Gemara says that it's as if you fasted.
As if you fasted, because it's
on Arabic.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the logic which you were saying before.
Right. He's doing the logic of
Arabic. It's a different. The eating is just a different source for it.
Well, if you eat more, if you eat to fill yourself up, which you want to be full for tomorrow.
Specific,
it doesn't say you have to eat a lot. It says you have to eat constantly. It says you could have a sucking can in your mouth theoretically a whole day too. That's what it says theoretically.
So he says, but taking off your shoes. But if it's still some of second time and Erev Tisha B'Av, you don't have to take off your shoes yet. Other things you could still do. But specifically, he says washing and smearing you can't do. Okay, that's what the Ramban says, and the Rosh himself disagrees. The Rosh says, how could you say, if you're allowed to eat, he says, he comes from a different angle, if you're allowed to eat, you should be able, you can't say you're allowed to eat, and you can't, and that this is going to be more strict than eating. We always know that eating is always the higher level.
Right, you're the first days, you can't eat,
and if you can say, if you're allowed to eat, you can say, you can't wash yourself, so if he disagrees with that.
Actually, Rosh Thomas, you're not allowed to eat, but you can still wash yourself.
Okay, very good, that's the right. But Rosh said, Michasen said, Hissigua. Is that tamer? It's the one, the yoichal, the yishka. You can tell me you can eat a drink and this is a mafsekes, the awesome rechitza. And you say you can't wash? If you eat and drink, you should be able to wash. Okay? So that Ramban was by Erev Tisha B'Av. Now he wants to know, what about over here? On Erev Yom Kippur. What would the Ramban say by Erev Yom Kippur? Let's say we don't agree with the Ramban. We don't agree. We say an Erev Tisha B'Av, you could eat, you could drink, you could wash yourself, whatever. What about an Erev Yom Kippur? The Ramban would say, Ramban would agree over here that you're allowed to go ahead and wash yourself here. That's what Ibn Hassan is going to say. The Komokum Nira Poshet, the Ramban Modin, Kan, Kozman de Mutal Echo, Ramban, if you're allowed to eat Erev Yom Kippur, you're allowed to have wash your body, take a shower. The Dafka got the Tisha B'Av Osir Mahas Tanuk. What's the problem there? The problem was that they forbade it because we don't want you to have pleasure. And it looks like you're having pleasure for Tisha B'Av when you take your shower right before Tisha B'Av. Of a Khan, even though Khan, Xeris HaKosov. Here it's Xeris HaKosov. Over here, it's Xeris HaKosov that you can't do these things. You can't go ahead and wash yourself. It's not a question. And therefore, if the Xeris HaKosov is a Lashach, so we don't look at what's going to be afterward. They didn't have benefit afterward. Xeris HaKosov is only on Tisha B'Av, on Yom Kippur itself. Vayin Shom, Ramban, Shemesayim, Shemir, Shiruch, Sech Tisha B'Av. And also the Ramban says, what's the problem? It looks like you're washing for Tisha B'Av when you take it right before Tisha B'Av. Tovel of Bracha. Here, we're happy if you, what is it? It looks like you're washing for the purpose of what? Of Yom Kippur? That's a nice thing to do. It's honorable that before Yom Kippur, you should wash yourself in honor of Yom Kippur. So therefore, that's another reason why we should say that if you're allowed to take a shower right before Yom Kippur, even though Yom Kippur comes, you can't go ahead and want to take a shower, or you can't wash. But what's the problem? You tell me, it looks like I'm taking a shower, it's like the shower is coming for Yom Kippur. Connecting the shower with Yom Kippur. Connect the shower with Yom Kippur. It means it's on, you're doing, because that's one of the things you're supposed to do in honor of Yom Kippur, take a shower.
It's not a day of mourning. Like
it's not a day of mourning, but like Tisha B'Av, which is a day of mourning, so therefore you're going to connect the shower with the Tisha B'Av, that's a problem, because you're not supposed to be taking a shower in honor of Tisha B'Av, so to speak.
A woman putting on lipstick before Yom Kippur? She's putting on for the effort, she's putting on Yom Kippur.
That's fine, right?
But I mean, she's like, why is that different than anointing yourself? Putting on lipstick, you're not putting it on for now, she's putting on because she wants and when she goes to come
in. So it's honorable for Yom Kippur. So it's honorable for Yom Kippur. She's dressing herself up in a certain way. But again, this is Ramban, we don't hold like this Ramban. But he just explained even according to the Ramban. I thought it was a very interesting thing. Now he gets into the shoes. Look, the next thing he gets into, but we have to remember, Alan, before the end, we should talk about Kiddush. This person needs to eat. We should talk about Kiddush. Well, see, you don't need to make Kiddush on Yom Kippur. We'll see about that. We should talk about it.
This person has to eat me, a sick person.
Because for sick persons, he doesn't make Kiddush. We should talk about it. We'll talk about
Kiddush.
Let's already talk about it. What's with Kiddush on Yom Kippur? A person needs to eat. If a person is not well and needs to eat, does he make Kiddush? And then the other question is, if a person eats on Yom Kippur because he's not well, does he have to bench or not? Benching, he has to bench. Right. Everyone sees he has to bench. The question is, in halacha, does he have to say Ritzei V'Achlitzeinu? If it's, let's say, the Shabbos, would he have to say Ritzei V'Achlitzeinu? Would he have to say Yalla V'Yavo? So that seems to be a question in halacha, if he has to say it or not. See, the Mechaber says in Simen Tov Reish Yud Ches,
wait, say Ritzei anyway, if it's even if it's really weak, isn't like Shabbos, Shabbos?
Say it again? That what?
We need to say Ritzei during the week. Yom Kippur
Kavanah during the week. Shabbos. Yeah, okay. But so it's especially because Yalav Yavah covers that. So Yalav Yavah talks about the holiness of the day. So we welcome you to the class. Welcome. He says like this. The Mechaber says in Simen Tov Reish Yud Ches, Sif Yud, a cholo that ate in Yom Kippur and he felt better, that he's able to make a bracha achrona. I mean, sometimes a guy eats and not able, he doesn't feel, he's
right.
Sick, he can't talk. But he's able to, he has to mention Yom Kippur in the benching. It says, Yalla V'Yavo V'Bonei Yerushalayim. Okay? And the Mishnah Berurah brings down, he says, listen, since he had a right to eat, because he was sick, so it's like any other yontif, you have to mention Yalla V'Yavo. And if it's Shabbos, you have to say Ritzei V'Achlitzeinu. And some are Mekel, that even Yalav Yavo he doesn't need to say. Why? Because they will only misak in Yalav Yavo in a place that's a mitzvah to eat. You have a mitzvah to eat on Yom Tov, so the other, you're benching, you have a mitzvah to eat, you say Yalav Yavo. But here, you have no mitzvah to eat.
You're sick,
you have a mitzvah to eat. Oh, very good, we have a doctor talking. Very good. But not because of the holiday. You have a mitzvah to eat because of a different reason, because of the koach nefesh. You have to say, because God wants us to live, not to die. But it's not because of the holiday itself. And the mentioning of it's not because of the Shabbos. You're mentioning Shabbos. You're mentioning the holiday. It's not the holiday that's causing you to eat. It's something. It's an outside source that's causing you to eat. Very good. So some say, you don't have to say Ritzei. On the Shabbos, if a guy is not well, he has to eat. He doesn't have to say he has to say benching, but he doesn't have to say Ritzei. He doesn't have to say Yalav Yavo, going to others. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Al Koponim Kiddush. What about Kiddush? So we have a discussion, Yalav Yavo, Ritzei, and benching. What about Kiddush? Kiddush, he definitely shouldn't make. Chash Bracha Levatola. Now what does that mean? So Alan Major said Pshat, I think, that we worked out a shot over here. It seems there's a question if you should say Yalav Yavo or Ritzei. Now the question is another. What about Kiddush? It will be the same. It would seem to be the same question. Is there an institution? Is there an obligation? Would the Chachamim did the Chachamim enact a Kiddush on a holiday that you don't, there's no mitzvah to eat? Yom Kippur. There's no mitzvah to eat on Yom Kippur. The only thing is, because the guy is sick, he needs to eat. So did the rabbi say, hey, still, but you need to eat, so you should make a Kiddush? Or the Rabbana say, no, you don't need to make it. We're not obligating you a Kiddush. The kid, you know what kind of Kiddush you're going to have? The same Kiddush that every other Jew who's fasting has. However they yotz the Kiddush. How are they yotz the Kiddush? In the davening, they yotz the Kiddush. The yotz the Kiddush in the davening. You'll be yotz the Kiddush in the davening too. You don't have to make any Kiddush.
I just want to say that on Yontif, you're supposed to eat two meals, right?
Right.
What happens if you eat a third meal? You still have to say Alav Yaveh. According to this logic, you shouldn't have to say Alav Yaveh. Only for the two meals that you have to eat. But yet, if you eat a third or a fourth meal on Yontif, you still have to, no matter how many times you eat, you still have to say Alav Yaveh. But this logic says that you're not supposed to eat more than two, so why would you say Alav Yaveh on Yontif?
Very good. Okay, so first of all, you could say that eating on Yontif in itself is a mitzvah. Simchas. Every time you're eating on Yontif, eating a meal, or maybe also it could be the only maybe they only obligated a minimum of two meals. But every time you're eating a meal, maybe you have to, maybe there's a mitzvah of suda. Maybe there's a minimum. Maybe. Something okay, like, maybe. Think about it.
But I mean, it seems like my question is a little bit geared to this.
I hear what you say. So he says, therefore, Kiddush.
What I'm trying to say is, I'm not trying to belittle. I'm just trying to say that maybe that's the reason you shouldn't have to say on Yom Kippur also a Yalav Yavai, because just like you're not mechuyev to eat the extra meal, and you still say the Yalav Yavai on Sukkot, you eat the third and fourth and fifth meal, so maybe it's lav davka because of the two meals that you mechuyev. So maybe just as like it's lav davka there, it could be lav davka on Yom Kippur that you should have to say Yalav Yavai if you're eating. I'm trying to put it the other way.
You should be able to say
it.
You should be. I understand what you're saying.
Those extraneous meals you're doing.
Right. Okay. So Kiddush works, Kiddush contains a bracha. The night Kiddush contains a bracha. It contains a real bracha. Contains a bracha. So that's a question of a bracha levatala. Don't make. Therefore, we said don't make the Kiddush. Don't make Kiddush on Yom Kippur. But then he said also, what happens if you'll appreciate this, Rabbi Blatt? What happens if they got Yalav Yavah? So now we have, the Mechava said, say Ritzay and Yalav Yavah. A guy, okay, the Mishnah Berurah says, some maybe you don't have to say Yalav Yavah. Some say yes, some say no.
Right.
You didn't say Yalav Yavah. You didn't say Ritzay the Shabbos, not you. A guy who was eating. Does he repeat the benching? Let's say, would he repeat the benching or not? So he says, listen, since there are opinions, obviously, that say that what?
They don't have to say it at all.
So bracha, you won't repeat it. Exactly. If it would be a regular yontif and you forgot Yalav Yavah for the first two meals, you would repeat the Bechas Hamazon.
So that would go for the third and fourth and fifth meal also.
But the third or fourth and fifth meal, we say, you don't have to repeat. Because you're not obligated for the third meal. And that's why the same thing by Shabbos. If a guy was ahead on Shabbos,
yeah, fourth
right?
meal.
Even the shalosh, even the third meal, the first two meals, if you forget Ritzay, you have to repeat Bechas Hamazon. The third meal, you forgot Ritzay, you don't have to repeat Bechas Hamazon. Why not? Since there are opinions that say you can fulfill shalosh shudas without bread, some, we don't recommend it, l'chatchila, you're supposed to have bread, but as the Shulchan Aruch says, there are many different opinions of how you can fulfill shalosh shudas. And therefore, you might not have been obligated to have a meal. You might not have been obligated to have a meal because some say, therefore, you don't have to repeat. You know, you didn't have to do it. You don't have to. Therefore, you're not obligated to go ahead and repeat the Berachas Hamazon if you forgot it by Shalosh Shudas. But still, we're not making light of washing. By the Aruch HaShulchan says, people who don't wash by Shalosh Shudas, us at least lead them as Adin. This is a very strong language. And he's usually the man who's trying to melame chus on the Jewish people, trying to find a good reason why people are doing certain things. Try to see that it's based on something. Not that people are doing things, many times people do things without being based, but sometimes you can find that it's based on something. Because I thought that was an interesting thing regarding Kiddush and Berachas Hamazon. That's what we come to learn. The more we come to learn, we'll learn together. So that's, yes.
And just to clarify, though, what is recommended when it comes to the benching? Is it recommended to say,
the language?
Do we consider it like a suffix, so maybe...
But to say, saying Yalav Yavah?
According to the sheet, does it say you don't have to say it?
Yes, if you're a Sephardi, you definitely will say it, because the Shulchan Aruch says to say it.
Okay.
If you're an Ashkenazi, I'll tell you like this. We saw the Chaya Odom writes, you say Ritzei Bach Hussein and you say Yalav Yavah in the benching. That's the Chaya Odom writes.
He was five.
No.
Danzig,
Rabbi Avram Danzig. Okay.
Maybe.
Now.
European.
It wasn't Yemen.
Well, you know what? I would go with Chai Adam. You know what I'm saying? Because the Mishnah Berurah brings down over here in the Bir Halacha, not a Bir Halacha, in the Shaar Tzion. Let's see what he says over here.
In other words, the ones who say you don't say, do they say you don't have to say it, or you shouldn't say it?
He says Mekilin, and he says the language he brings is Ein Tzorach Lomar. But L'chorin means that they were Mesakin only by Makom Shemitzvasa. It could be therefore you shouldn't say it.
If you don't need to, then you shouldn't, basically. That's what you want to say. Right. If you don't need to, then you're not allowed to.
No, but sometimes you have, like, Mishnah Merida Tal. Merida Tal, the Rabbanim says, if you want to, you can say it. If you don't want to, you don't have to say it.
It's a bakosha ba'alma. He brings down in the Shaar Tzion himself, it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah himself is taking the position to save it, save us, and Yalav Yavah. Because in the Shaar Tzion, he writes, okay, he says, Kivan, it's raka bakosha ba'alma, Yalav Yavah. What is Yalav Yavah? Yalav Yavah, we are Yav Yavah, we also be Shalom, we want to be Shalom, we. Please, you know, remember us. I was on the Seinu, it's a Mashiach. You know, it's a real request, right? Yossi, it's a big request. Yeah. You give us, we'd like to hear a nice song. And Ritzei is also, what's Ritzei? It's a request. It's a Bakasha Ba'alma, right? So therefore, and it's not a Chashash Brachal Vatola, Yucholoma. Masha'enkin Kiddush, K'moshe Kassav Nolimela. So therefore, it would seem to me that the Mishnah Berurah himself would agree, would go with the Mechaber. Someone would ask him, Rabbi, what should I do? Should I say Ritzei with any other? I would say Ritzei with any other. That's what the Chofetz Chaim Mishnah Berurah seems to be going that way. It's only the Yesh Makilim with that one. There are those that are lenient. And also, the Mishnah Berurah says, concludes, if you want to make another diyuk, because Mishnah Berurah says, Kiddush you shouldn't do. And they said, and if you forgot to say Yalav Yavah, then you don't have to repeat it. But what does that mean if you forgot to say Yalav Yavah? But, you have a Mechaber also. You have Yosef Kaya, who's a good man too. So you have a lot of people over here that it's only a Yesh Makilin and Lina, you have a Chayodim, I would say. If the person should say, would say, see Yalav Yavah, have in mind what the bakasha is all about. Think about the words that he's saying.
You shouldn't have to.
Very good, 100%. I'm with you. But you know, you're talking with a daddy. You know, just on the subject, once you talk about the Koch Nefesh, I think it's very appropriate to mention the story with the Chaim Briska. As we all know the story, I think it's a famous story, but the doctor has to hear the story. As you know, the briskas are very machmir. They always try to make sure they do a mitzvah. There are different opinions, different shittos. They want to make sure that they...
How long they wait
for
the Shabbos
to get them on time? You know, your question, how many esrogim did a briskas take? I can't tell you. You have the matzah, the briska matzahs are very famous, how they're really burnt well, you know, they're crisp, you know.
Wait after a fast, the schlitz is like 3 hours. After the tag, like 3 hours.
But yet, when it came on Yom Kippur, and there was issues with questions of health issues, Chaim Briska was very lenient. The rabbi in Brisk, very lenient regarding allowing people to eat in the situation. So they say, Rabbi, what's going on? You're always so strict. Right? He's always so strict. And here is when it comes to the health issue. He said, I'm afraid there's a danger and whatever it is, I'm going to allow the guy to eat. And he didn't just allow everyone to eat, you know. But if there was a possible concern of health, whatever the situation was, I don't have the case in front of me, but the point was he was very lenient. So he said, Rabbi, it seems to be not going in with your general policy of being strict. He says, that's not true. I'm very machmir. I'm very strict. I'm strict in pikuach nefashos. That's what I'm strict in. You have to watch yourself and guard your body, and you should be well and healthy. And I'm very strict in that. That's also a mitzvah in the Torah. Shmartim ol nashasechem. You have to watch yourself, right? People can't walk in the street. Cars are coming and walk in the street. And we know the Torah has other mitzvahs of protecting oneself and protecting. You have to make a gate and other things. The Torah did, but that's one of them. It's chay b'hem v'los yomas b'hem.
Very interesting. He doesn't say you should avoid eating breast. You won't have to bench. That's what they don't say. A person that's sick could eat other things. And it would be mechuyev to bench. He doesn't say that if you're sick, you should try to avoid the benching by not eating enough bread.
But we know in halacha, if you could space it out over a certain amount of time, because that's process, you're supposed to space it out, the eating, the drinking, that's, you know.
The more you make restrictions, the more someone might know. Try to eat, they'll reserve themselves. So they start saying, oh,
I feel guilty.
They'll be like, you know,
I feel guilty. I'm only
eating. Also, you got to know the people. You got to know the client. You got to know the patient. There's certain patients. A smart rabbi knows, you know, which, you know, some people. He'll know if you tell them to space it out. He's not gonna, you know, if you know you tell him that, he's gonna say it. And you know, yeah, you have to. Each case has to be dealt with properly. Okay, let's get to shoes now. The Indian has sandal. We're buying shoes. What's that? If the kid is different on Shabbos, regarding what? He didn't discuss that. But it would seem that it should be the same. They weren't masaking a special bracha. As Sfora would say, based on this, that they weren't masaking a special bracha of Kiddush on Shabbos of Yom Kippur. What'd you say? Of Shabbos. Oh. Yeah, very good. In fact, he's saying they have the old bracha of Kiddush and Shabbos.
But the rest of the world,
they were not masaking that bracha of Kiddush. What? Yeah, but they weren't masaking for the Shabbos. I'm saying, as far as they can say, halacha lemaaseh is what? They're what? They should or not? On Shabbos they should.
You don't really fulfill it, but Kiddush and Shema Hetzer.
That's interesting.
And that's how everyone else is fulfilling. See, we also discussed the issue. Alan and I wanted to know, is the mitzvah
to the normal way of being during the week.
But everyone might not agree to it, right? The question is also, we have to know whether Mishnah Berurah himself says nothing about it. L'chaira, I want to bring a raya to Rabbi Paka Shaila. I want to go on record with a raya from the Mishnah Berurah. To answer Rabbi Paka's question. Rabbi Paka said, there's a discussion halacha, if Shabbos comes down,
a sick person has a chiyuv to make a Kiddush on Yom Kippur on wine? No.
Not right, again. First of all, the question is, Yom Kippur, we said on Yom Kippur he doesn't have to make Kiddush, we said.
Yeah.
The question is on Yom Kippur of Shabbos, is the question of the table.
Yeah, sure, but on wine?
Maybe he used bread. He made Kiddush on bread. He used bread as the Kiddush.
If you don't you don't have to make it on wine.
You can use bread also.
Basically,
the question of the Pekka said a svara that if it comes out like this year on Shabbos, since they already have there's always a mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos, that you're not creating a new takana of Kiddush. So maybe if a person has to eat on Shabbos, maybe he would make Kiddush. Because we said if it's a regular Yom Kippur that doesn't come out on Shabbos, it was never an institution of a Kiddush. It's a question of maybe you're making a bracha levatol. But Shabbos, which already has that Kiddush, because generally Shabbos has Kiddush, so therefore that bracha is already on the books. So therefore, if a guy has to eat on Shabbos, Yom Kippur, there's a swear to say, let him make Kiddush on Yom Kippur. But the fact the Mishnah Berurah is discussing Shabbos as well, he talks about benching and and yet in those same lines he said Kiddush you definitely don't make, and he doesn't go on record to say, but Shabbos you do make Kiddush. The Chofetz Chaim's opinion would be you would not make Kiddush on Shabbos. It would seem to indicate. I wonder if we have to research this Shaila. But that would be my raya to the Shaila.
And the logic would be because the rest of the world is not doing it?
The rest of the world, there was never an institution, there was never a takona of Kiddush for Shabbos of Yom Kippur. There was never such a takona of Kiddush for Shabbos Yom Kippur. And the truth is, we all know that the Kiddush of Shabbos and the Kiddush of Yom Kippur is a two type of Kiddush also. Even the Kiddush during the year. What do we want to say? If we want to say you're going to make Kiddush on Yom Kippur of Shabbos, right? That type of Kiddush is not the regular Shabbos Kiddush. Okay, it's a bracha, but the nusach is different. It's a totally different nusach also. It's a different Kiddush.
Right.
The whole nusach is a different Kiddush. It's also part of the. It'd still be a total change of a nusach, new nusach to institute a new nusach that we don't have. I think it's another svara on a reason to say not to make. I'm just throwing out another reason why not to make the Kiddush. I'm trying to advocate Yossi's opinion. Not to make the Kiddush.
Yeah, I just want to go back to Rabbi Pack. Let's say on a different Yom Kippur, first by accident, it was Yom Kippur and Shabbos, and purpose by accident said the Shabbos did a Kiddush. Does he have to repeat it again because he didn't use the antithetical words? If a person on a Shabbos Sukkos, he said by accident, the Sukkos is Shabbos and Sukkos is the same day. He made a Kiddush on the Shabbos. He used the Shabbos Tikkun Nusach and he never used the Yom Tov Tikkun Nusach. Would he have to repeat the Kiddush because he didn't include Sukkos into the Kiddush? Would he, yes?
Because he didn't include Sukkos.
Would have to.
Okay, so that's now. Let's we're going to get to the shoes. Okay, sure. We'll get to the shoes. Masi Matova. And now the question is also regarding after Yom Kippur. We'll talk about a different night or not. We'll see. The question in shoes. The Mechaber writes, the Chinuch writes that generally shoes means leather. When you say shoes is leather. And that's Asan Yom Kippur. Nothing else is Asan Yom Kippur besides leather. That's the first opinion. And some of the Mefarshim explain that whatever is roi for chalitza, that's what's roi, which chalitza is only chosun na, right? The na'alo, ma'al ra'aglo, v'chosun na'alo, ma'al ra'aglo is what? It's a leather shoe. So if it's not a leather, so therefore when they ask it, shoes, it's only a leather shoe. Therefore, if it's not a leather shoe, it's not a problem. But the question is, are you allowed to go out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim with these shoes? If it's not leather, then it's not a shoe. If it's not a shoe, so then maybe you're carrying. So what do you wear? That's a question. Are you allowed to wear something which is not so you're going to wear, let's say, something made out of grass as a covering for your feet. So some opinions say, hey, if it's not a shoe, so that's a problem of carrying.
Why? Serving a purpose, not to cut your feet. Because you don't want to get rain.
Right. So then he brings other. Then the Chinuch said, "Min afarshim rabim v'nechbodim matirim loseis bekulon rishis rab." Others say you could go out with everything. You could go out with everything. If it's protecting your feet, you go out with Rishis Rabbim.
Like a coat.
And the Minchas Chinuch said there are three shitas. One shita is only leather is forbidden. The second shita is even also if it's made out of wood material, it's forbidden. I think that's Rashi Shita. And the third Shita is anything that protects the foot is considered a shoe. So if it protects the foot, it's considered a shoe. And look in the run. But I just want to end with a medrash. The medrash says, the Torah brings a medrash, a picket of another thing, that the Malach Samuel says, look at the people, the Jewish people, comes Yom Kippur, they go out barefoot, and they're like the Malachim, they're barefoot, and there's peace among them. They're like the Malachim, there's peace, and they talks about different things about the Jewish people. The question is, what's so great? You go barefoot like the Malachim, the Yechaseach. Why should that be a great merit? Because you're barefoot like Malachim. What's the greatness of that? They don't wear shoes. You don't wear shoes. They don't, I mean, whatever it is. They look barefoot, so you look barefoot. So what were you emulating the Malachim? What does that do for you? This moment you make peace among each other. I understand why you deserve something special because you made peace. But could you look like them? Why should that make you? Why should that be a great merit for you? And then the Drisha says, hey, what do you mean barefoot? You go barefoot on Yom Kippur? The only thing we say is forbidden. It's why? Leather. You don't have to go barefoot. So what does it mean? You go barefoot like Malachim. The Drisha says beautifully, why not leather? Where does leather come from? Leather comes from the animal. We're removing the animal from us. We don't wear shoes on Yom Kippur. We don't wear leather. What shoes don't we wear? We don't wear leather. Why leather? Leather's from the animals. It's that the taivus, the behemoth that we have in us. So we got to get rid of that. And that's what Yom Kippur is about. And that's a great merit. If you go ahead and it's Yom Kippur, and what happens, and you like the Malachim, not that you're just dressing like them. You dress like them. That's a great thing. No! You're acting like the Malachim. You get rid of the Gashmias. And you elevate the Gashmis to Ruchnis, that will be the schus, and that's why there's no kitra against the Jewish people. You hear the Drisha? Meiredig. I think it's a different understanding and appreciation when we're not wearing those shoes.
But if you want to get away from the leather, how come are you allowed to wear a leather belt?
Oh, so the Drisha says the leather shoes, the shoes is what the whole person stands on. It's the whole body stands on that. Yeah. And that's what you got to get rid of. That's the whole thing.
You shouldn't wear fur on your shoes either.
Good. I'm glad I asked the question. I got to.
But the front top of the shoe is. But this is what keeps you standing at the bottom. It's the sole. That's true also. But this is. But this.
Mom,
is
the soul.
This is the sole.
And being without pants is a lot of fun.
What'd you say?
Being without pants.
What do you mean?
The pants falls down.
We got no belt. He's saying.
We have other things we can do here. We have no problem with those. But this is what we have to recognize. This is what we think when we look at when we don't wear the shoes. It's not enough just to know we don't do this, we don't do that. We have to understand what it represents. Why don't we do that? That's what we got to figure out. The Rambam says, the end of Me'ilah, what's the reasons for the mitzvah? Don't just do mitzvahs like this. You just do the mitzvah. You just do without thinking behind it. Of course you got to do. But you got to also put your mind to it and you got to understand what's the deep meaning why the Torah has all these mitzvahs. They're there to make us different, to make us better. I want to wish everyone a gemar simchat Torah.